Thanksgiving is the date. And Thanksgiving, as we will be discussing at length, is Hakaras HaTov. So my Hakaras HaTov to your illustrious Mor Da'asra goes back a long way. All I mentioned, Mikzah Sheva Mikzahs. I remember that when my wife and I were married, about 40 years ago, it ended up that one of the Sheva Brachas on how to be in the yeshiva. And we need someone to sort of to take charge, to arrange it. So your Rav, as a bacha, took on himself to make all the arrangements and have everything done in his typical, meticulous fashion. And this one small incident, which I think reflects a much larger personality. And it's wonderful for me to be here, to speak in this very wonderful, vibrant community. And I am speaking to the topic. The topic is a very interesting topic. I've commented to a few times to the organizers. It talks about Thanksgiving, talks about Hanukkah, but it also focuses upon Torah values and secular values. That's quite a topic. The topic is a mouthful, and certainly to give it justice would take much more than the hour that I have. But I want to speak about some of the fundamentals. We find that the Torah values and the secular values, even when they appear to be saying exactly the same thing, nonetheless can be fundamentally different. Yes, Thanksgiving exists in the general world, in America today, Thanksgiving Day. And by contrast, in comparison, it exists on Hanukkah, coming up. But as we shall see, the fact that there's Thanksgiving in our lexicon and in the general American lexicon does not necessarily mean that two concepts are identical. In opening, when we speak of Thanksgiving, we have in mind giving thanks to God, to Hashem. But, as I mentioned in my opening comment, there's also Hakaras HaTov, which is thanksgiving to a human being. And our Chachamim have taught us that these two are intertwined. At first glance, there's absolutely no resemblance between expressing thanks to a human being and expressing thanks to Hashem. After all, a human being is mortal, is limited. Hashem is infinite and unlimited. And yet the two are very, very strongly connected. Just to go back, we're learning a lot of Chumash and Rashi. If anyone wants to use the text inside, feel free. I just took one of the Chumash from the back. I saw a few hundred of them. So if you want to follow along, feel free. The Rashi goes back to the very beginning. Beginning of creation. Rashi tells us that the Tower of Babel, the Migdal Babel, was built, and Hashem descended to see the tower, Asher Bonu B'nei Ha'odom. Literally, it was being constructed by the sons of man, or the sons of Adam. Rashi comments, Ela B'nei Mi, Shema b'nei chamor u'gemalim? Of course the sons of man. Donkeys and camels are going to build this tower. Ela b'nei Adam harishon. It means Adam, not man, it means Adam, the first man. Why? Shekofar es hatova. He was an ingrate. He was an ingrate. V'yomar ha'isha shenasata imodi, etc. When he was in a tough spot, he blamed his wife. People have been doing it ever since. And it's a terrible thing to do. It shows an ingratitude. The greatest gift that a man can have is a wonderful wife. And here, Adam is in a pinch. He blames it on his wife, his terrible sin. He blames it on her. That's ingratitude. Af elu kofre betova. So too, these people were ingrates towards Hashem. Limro, to rebel against him. B'misha mishpia tova, who gave him so much goodness. Who milta min hamabol, and he saved him from the deluge. So we see clearly a direct line between ingratitude to a human being and ingratitude to Hashem. This itself should teach us that Hakaras HaTov, gratitude for us, is fundamentally different than it is in the outside world. In the outside world, Hakaras HaTov towards a human being is generally viewed as something which is polite, utilitarian in nature. That's how society works. You say thank you. It's the right thing to say. You don't want to insult a person who's helped you by ignoring him. You say thank you. The person who receives a thank you feels good. And that's how society is able to advance. But that's not our attitude towards thank you. As a matter of fact, we have an obligation of thanks even towards the inanimate objects which have helped us. That sounds completely counterintuitive. An inanimate object has no feelings, has no knowledge. So what's the point of somehow not being an ingrate towards an inanimate object? Where do we find this? By Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem to perform the various makos. And many of them, most of them he does himself. Yet, a number of them are done through Aaron, says Rashi. Lohoya ha'ofer kedai lilkos ayde Moshe. Moshe could not hit the dirt. Why? Fishehegin olav kshehoregas amitzvi veit b'nei b'chol. Therefore, look ayde Aaron. Moshe had to have gratitude towards the dust that somehow saved him, and the water as well, and therefore he had to do it through Aaron. What's going on over here? Do you think that dust has feelings and water has feelings? Absolutely not. The critical lesson here is that Hakaras HaTov is not merely so that the person who helped you, to whom you were expressing gratitude, is going to feel good. That's certainly true. And in the outside world, it seems to me, that's what it's really all about. But for us, it's totally different. We have to have Hakaras HaTov to any person or thing that has helped us. This indicates that it's something which is intrinsic. It is a midah tova, it is the proper thing to do, irrespective of the feelings of the person or thing to whom or to which you owe a debt of gratitude. Moreover, we owe debts of gratitude, this is a, in a sense, a lesser chiddush, to human beings who have helped us, even though it was not their intention to help us. They were doing it for themselves. But we benefited from them. Oreach Tov says, what does a good guest say? Whatever the Balabais does, he does for me. Now we know it's not true. It doesn't matter. You have to view it that way. You have to thank anyone who's helped us in this fashion. So therefore, when we speak about Thanksgiving, for us, it's much more than a, you know, thank you, it's the right thing to say, the right thing to do. It has to be inside of us. We have to internalize the lesson. When I was asked, do you celebrate Thanksgiving, Rabbi? So I paraphrased a different expression that I've used. Every day is Mother's Day. Every day is Thanksgiving Day. We have to thank Hashem each and every day, each and every breath. Call on Hashem to halaluko halaluko. I want to just, by way of example, cite one source to teach us that although there may be values which are Torah values and secular values which seem identical, it's not really the case. And if Hakaras HaTov is something which is fairly subtle, let's take the most extreme value that exists throughout the entire world, that's human life. We would assume that in human life, it's so valuable to us, there can be no difference in how the Torah views the sanctity of life and the non-Jewish world. We all agree that murder is a terrible, terrible offense. So this we have, at least this we have in common with the rest of the world. I will read you from a brief paragraph in the Sefer Dorash Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Parshas Maaseh. All malchus, all kingdoms, all governments are very strict about shvichas damim, about murder. Nonetheless, there's a major distinction between their understanding and the Torah's. In the outside world, it's a matter of yishuv ha'olam. The world has to exist. Ilmolei moro shel malchus ish es re'eu chayim b'lo. Were not for the fear of the government, people would eat themselves up alive, eat each other alive. Avos Paragim Mishnah Beis. This being the case, what if they make a calculation that for our society, it's more important to go to war than to be at peace? They'll do it. You're taking lives, sometimes millions of lives. It's okay. The purpose of life is to serve Yeshuva Shalom, which means our country. And for the same reason, writes Rav Moshe, Ein makpidim al chayei shor klal, v'lo al chayei zokein. They don't care too much about a small amount of life. A person can't live too long, or someone's very old. The doctors don't try so much for an older person. And we know today about the termination of life, which is inappropriate according to the halacha. But the Iser HaTorah is mitzad chashivus ha'adam. Not because of society, because of the person himself. Therefore, this person has absolutely serves no function for Yishuv HaOlam. The same prohibition against murder exists. Someone who's not of a sound mind, someone who cannot live for too long. You have a different perspective. Says Rav Moshe, if somebody kills someone, because then he thinks that it's important to do, for whatever reason, for the betterment of society, he is literally a machnif es ha'aretz. That's on that pasuk he's going. According to him, the person is tofel ha'aretz. The most important thing is the world. And a person is part of that world in general. The truth is the other way around. Adarav, ha'aretz, tofel ha'adam. The most important thing is the human being. And the earth, the world, is secondary to its ultimate value. I give this only as an example to show that secular values and Torah values, they seem to be exactly the same thing. We all understand human life is important. We all understand that murder is terrible. But you look at the nuances, it's quite different. So too with Hakaras HaTov. Sure, everyone believes in it. Sure, everyone has Thanksgiving. But it's of a totally different nature, our understanding, compared to the understanding of the general world. And therefore, for us, we have a Thanksgiving for human beings, a Thanksgiving to God, and the two are related to each other very strongly. Let us turn our attention to the second part of the topic, which is Chanukah. Chanukah. The word Hodah, Thanksgiving, is featured prominently in Chanukah. Absolutely. The Gemara tells us, the famous story of my Chanukah, it was introduced by Hallel uvahoda. Hallel, as Rashi says, we say hallel. And Oda, says Rashi, we say Allah Nisim. So therefore, thanksgiving, Oda, is found most prominently with respect to Allah Nisim. Did you notice something? How do you compare the text of the Gemara, Bahalo Vahoda, to the text of the Allah Nisim? Or for that matter, the text of Haneir Salalo, which we say we light the candles. Anybody? The Gemara talks about Bahalo Vahoda. Whereas both in Allah Nisim and in Haneir Salalo, the order is reversed. Lahodos ulahalel l'shimcha hagadol. Sounds like the reversal of the order. Perhaps we can explain as follows. The takana was made b'halal v'hodah because intrinsically, halal, which means praising Hashem, may be on a higher level than thanking Hashem. You praise Hashem, even if at the present time you don't see what you have to thank Him for. It's a hallel, it's not a hodah. You don't thank Hashem for bad. You praise Him because you understand that ultimately everything is really for the good. But we're not on the level to thank Hashem at this point for bad things happening to us. So hallel perhaps is the higher level. But you will never get to the Hallel till you first have a Hodah. That's why the Takana was Hallel and Hodah. Hallel is maybe more important. But when it comes to the recitation that we have in our Allah Nisim, which concludes, Lahodos ulahalo l'shimcha hagadol, Lahodos in the infinitive, not in the noun form, Hallel and Hodah, infinitive. Lahodos ulahalel. And in Haneir Salalo as well. Kedei lahodos ulahalel. Lahodos has to come first. Because if we're not going to have this gratitude towards Hashem, this thanksgiving towards Hashem, we're never going to reach the level of halal, of praising Hashem, which is perhaps the higher level. Indeed, as the Balei Musar pointed out, the Neros Chanukah, which reflect the glory of the Neros in the Beis HaMikdash, are themselves representative of Hakaras HaTov. Chazal say in the Medrash that we asked Hashem, why do you need our light? You are Oro Shel Olam. Hashem is the light of the world. And the example is given of one who is sighted and one who is no sight. Accompanying each other on the way. When they get into the house, the Pikeach asks the Suma to light a candle. Without going into the entire depth and length of the Medrash, when the Suma asked the Pikeach, why is this necessary? I'm giving you an opportunity to express Hakaras HaTov. I don't want you to be beholden to me because I helped you and you didn't express thanks. Hashem gives us an opportunity to express thanks to Him through the Hadlakas Neiros HaMenorah. So say Chazal. And it's for this reason, Shelcha Gedola Mishalahem, as Rashi says in Baaloscha, because this lesson of Hakaras HaTov is eternal. It applies to the Ner Chanukah, as the Ramban writes. Because even if you have no Beis HaMikdash, the lesson of thanking someone and thanking Hashem is forever. Perhaps we can add that although, as we said, lahodos may be a prerequisite for lahala, that thanksgiving may be a prerequisite for praise, thanksgiving itself may have its own prerequisite. The word hodah means many things. I'd like to focus on the parshios that we're reading, beginning this Shabbos, parshas Vayeshev, till the very end of Sefer Bereishis. This is a lesson which we can keep upmost in our minds for an entire month. You know that we are known by the name Yehudim, Jews. Why are we known by that name? There were 12 Shvatim, 12 tribes. Yehuda was only one of them. We could give a simple historical answer. 10 tribes were lost. Only left with Yehuda, Binyamin, a little bit of Levi. So Yehuda was the main tribe of that small group. So we're called Yehudim. In point of fact, we're called Yehudim in Megillas Esther, most famously, which transpired after that historical event where the other tribes were lost. But the Targum Yonason in Parshas Vayechi has a completely different understanding as to why we are called Yehuda. It's on the Pasuk, Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. Yehuda, you, your brothers shall acknowledge you. Your brothers will acknowledge you. So we find, it seems, that the word Yehuda, which we know most famously from a pasuk we read a couple of weeks ago, Hapam Odes Hashem, Yehuda, the name Yehuda has thanksgiving built into it. But yet over here it means something else. It means to acknowledge. Yoducha Achecha, to acknowledge. But, says the Targum Yonason, something even deeper. Even the Unkelus already points out, as I shall read, Yehuda, at Odesa velo behesesa. Only one way to translate the word over here. Yehuda, you admitted and you were not embarrassed. Targum is not telling us what he admitted to. But the Targum Yonason explains. It's this week's parsha. Sadka mimeni. Yehuda had sentenced his daughter-in-law Tamar to death. At the last moment, she presents him with the chosemes and the psilim and the matah. Haken olami. Please, please identify yourself as the father. And as Rashi comments, and don't allow three innocent souls to perish. Yehuda had a moral dilemma, and one could have imagined a different way out. We often find a royal pardon. Yehuda could have said, this woman is guilty, deserves a death sentence, I'll be a tzaddik, I'll commute it, I'll pardon it, I'll exonerate her. He can look great. He can look even like a bigot tzaddik. Here he is. Someone is guilty of death and he sends a pardon. Not, in fact, identifying his paternity.
Not what he did.
Sotka mimeni. Rashi explains, yes, I'm the father. V'lo behesasa. He wasn't embarrassed. How can you not be embarrassed? The answer is, when you realize the importance of human life, and the importance of owning up to what you've done, you're doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. We're embarrassed when we do the wrong thing. This was the right, at this point, it was the right thing. The Targum Yonason continues and says, if it's for this reason, because of Yehuda's admission, that we are called Yehudim. This is the reason. Because we admit that we made a mistake. We like to live up to our names, don't we? Our name, Yehudi, a Jew, means that we admit to mistakes. May I suggest that this explanation of the Targum Yonason in Parshas Vayechi is not necessarily in conflict with the historical simple suggestion that we were the tribe that survived in Shushan Avira, whereas the other tribes disappeared. Because why did we survive in Shushan Avira? We were sentenced to death. Rav Destel explains in Michtav Elio that we survive for the following reason. We were guilty in the third year of Achashverosh's reign of partaking of the Suda Shel Osa Rasha, of the royal, I'm not using the word feast, I'm using the word orgy. That's how Chazal explained it in great detail. We participated in one way or another in that place where we should not have been. 9 years later, Haman threatens to kill us for the ostensible reason. Obviously, he was intransigent. And therefore, the first thought would be, it's all Mordechai's fault. And Mordechai tells him, no, do tshuva. Why? Because you were, there's a Zeres Kaloya, a decree of extinction, because you had 9 years ago, you partook of the Suda Bosa Rasha. Today, they make fun of it in the newspapers. Here's this cleric who was attributing the death sentence, which is obviously because of his, the cleric's, actions or inaction. He's blaming it on some 9-year-old minor indiscretion. That's not what the B'nai Yisrael said. I guess they didn't read the papers. They did tshuva. And they said, we made a mistake! We made a mistake. They admitted to their mistake. And precisely because they admitted to their mistake, they survived. So the historical and the conceptual interpretations perhaps are one. This idea teaches us a very deep link between each and every one of the understandings of Yoducha, of Hodah. There are three of them. Admitting, acknowledging, and thanking. And they're all very closely related. If a person does not admit his mistake, his weakness, he cannot really thank appropriately. You know why? Es kumt mir. It's coming to me. So why should I say thank you? You have to first admit your weakness and or your mistakes. If you do, then you're in a position to thank the being, mortal, divine, who has helped you, despite your shortcomings and your weaknesses. So if a person is not willing to admit that he ever made a mistake, if there's any weaknesses or shortcomings, it's very unlikely that such an individual will ever be able to say thank you properly. He doesn't really believe that he owes a debt of gratitude, because, as I said before, it's coming to him. So therefore, hodo, in the sense of I made a mistake, and hodo, in the sense of the acknowledgement of the debt that I owe to somebody else, are prerequisites for proper thanksgiving. So as we are celebrating Thanksgiving today, and we'll be celebrating Hanukkah in exactly a week from today, this is what we have to be doing. We have to recognize that we've made mistakes. We don't really deserve the great bounty with which we have been blessed. And this admission and acknowledgement should automatically in our minds lead us to an overwhelming desire to express thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, in a case in which a human being has helped us, an equally overwhelming desire to say thank you to that individual. This has to be, as I said before, internalized, to be part of our very selves. Even as we mentioned earlier, towards an inanimate object. I'm not saying thank you to make the person feel good, because we ourselves have this responsibility internally. A proper individual knows how to thank someone else, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's first discuss for a few minutes thanking individuals before we conclude with how we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who do we have to thank? So first and foremost, family relationships. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, at the midst of Kibud Av V'Em, made before a comparison between Thanksgiving and Mother's Day, right? So every day is both. And they go together. We have to thank our parents as an act of gratitude. Hakaras HaTov, because they brought us into this world. It's an everlasting piro nachov, paying back of a debt. And it can never be paid back completely. It's just too great. So many times people just forget about it. And I hear an excuse sometimes. Chazal used that excuse. Why should I thank my parents? My parents brought me into this world for their own pleasure. For their own satisfaction. That's what's called an oreach ra. A bad guest. He did it for himself. But an oreach tov says, even if it's true, we have an unlimited debt of gratitude, an unlimited responsibility to thank our parents. I know many people don't work today, and it's family time. Family time is the best of times and the worst of times, to quote a different source. It's the best of times if you utilize it properly, but the proper hakaras hatov to parents. Chalil are the worst of times if there's sometimes these disagreements. It could be about the most major or the most trivial thing. I don't know which football game to watch, or I don't know what, much more important things, value discussions, Torah discussions, whatever it may be, can come up at the table. Perhaps, to go back to the beginning of our remarks, we should focus more today on Hakaras HaTov to a spouse, in particular to a wife, to be metaken the chet of Adam HaRishon. That's what we're here for in this world. Adam HaRishon's sin was his ingratitude towards his wife. Kan kofa betova. And it's remarkable, can't go into this fully this morning, but there are two expressions that are used, kafar batova or kafa batova. Denying the favor that someone did for you, and kafa, which means sometimes inverting, turning things upside down. In order not to feel an obligation to thank someone, we will sometimes deny the fact that he did anything for us. We'll simply deny it. At other times, we're not going to deny it. It's undeniable. It's certainly true. We'll turn it upside down. Hey, he did it for himself. He owes me too. I deserve it, as the case may be. These are both terrible, terrible transgressions with respect to one's spouse, in particular with respect to one's wife, as in the case of Adam HaRishon. You know, every couple knows that the marriage contract, as we call it, is really called a ksuba. Ksuba. What does it say in a ksuba? What's the first line in the ksuba, the first substantive line after the names and the date and the place? A person promises, man promises, the ksuba is a unilateral document, a man promises to take care of his wife. Kehilchos guvrin yehudain. Kehilchos guvrin yehudain means in accordance with the laws of Jewish men. And they're called Guvin Yehudayim. Yehudayim means that they follow the name Yehuda in all three of its meanings. They admit they made mistakes. They acknowledge the debt of gratitude. And they say thank you. Any husband who cannot do all these three things has what to improve in his marriage. I put myself on the top of the list. We all have to improve in our marriages. Yehudayim means all three. To admit you made a mistake, you didn't say the right thing, you didn't do the right thing. To acknowledge the tremendous debt that a man has towards his wife. I'm sure every wife is wonderful, but even if she be a shrew, the Gemara puts it in Yevamos, Dayenu shemegadlo says panenu matzilos osonu menachet. And yes, to never cease saying thank you. It's never enough. Never enough. You know, the Guvin Yehudayim, what do? The Ksuba goes on. Holchem, Vizonim, Mufarnasim, Linsheon, Bekushta. That they work, and they cherish, and they feed, and they support their wives. Bekushta, literally mean in truth. What do I mean in truth? So perhaps we can understand the word Bekushta, which of course is an Aramaic word, in truth. Based on the appearance of this word in next week's parasha. Avol Hashem imanachnu, says the Targum. Bekushta chayov imanachnu. Bekushta means we were wrong. We made a mistake. So perhaps the hint is not enough to say thank you to your wife. You have to say, I'm sorry. Two very important phrases which have hints in this initial opening sentence of the Ksuba. These are two of the family obligations of thanks that we have, of thanksgiving to parents and thanksgiving to a spouse. And these teach us, as we mentioned before, In the contrast, Adam HaRishon, the great debt of thanksgiving that we have towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. Indeed, as we mentioned earlier briefly, Kol HaNeshama Tahalol Ka, Al Kol Neshima UNeshima. We have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for each and every breath. We sometimes fail to recognize this, because we assume that we have a lease on life. But as reality, which often stares us in the face, teaches us all too well, no individual is guaranteed this lease on life. Every breath comes from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore every single breath is worthy of praise, the highest level, the Halal Ka, as we mentioned before, Lahodosu Lahala, to reach the level of praise, we have to first achieve the level of Hodah, thanks, which in turn is preceded by acknowledgement, which is in turn preceded by admission of guilt or shortcoming. This is what today is all about. If Thanksgiving is a national holiday, for us, it's much more than the secular value of Thanksgiving, which is important in its own right. But again, to paraphrase Rav Moshe, our Thanksgiving is much deeper, much more exalted, because we have to think more deeply about what it's all about. Don't believe that the individuals who are celebrating Thanksgiving, whether it be with football or turkey, are all thinking deeply enough what Thanksgiving really means. Certainly it varies. There are hundreds of millions of people in this country. Varies. But we, as members of Am Yisrael, are required to think deeply about what Thanksgiving really means. Thanksgiving towards Hashem. Yes, we require Thanksgiving towards human beings. That's a prerequisite. But we must go beyond and recognize our debt of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All too often, we go through life without this being uppermost in our minds. How many times does it take a difficult moment, a health scare? Somebody goes to the doctor and they say, "Ooh, I don't like what I'm seeing. Let's go for some kind of a X-ray, CAT scan, MRI, you name it." And in those few days, the people are literally shaking. And they take out the Tehillim. And everyone's davening with full force. Because they realize at that moment that longevity is not guaranteed. And then, the results of Baruch Hashem, the scare is only a scare, everything's fine. And then, what happened to the Tehillim? Where is it? Put back on the shelf. Rabosai, ladies and gentlemen, every day is Thanksgiving. And if you went to the doctor and he found nothing to take a scan of, shouldn't that deserve even a greater measure of Halal V'Hodah? We don't realize that everything comes from the Kodesh Baruch. I want to conclude with a brief thought about Hanukkah, which brings this message home. B'nei Bina Yemei Shmona Kavu Shira Renanim. Before we spoke about Al HaNisim and Hallel and Haneros Halalu, we'll end with Mizmor Shir. Mizmor Sur. Why B'nei Bina? Chazal have taught us that Bina is Bina Yesera, is Mavin Dover Mitov Dover. It's not apparent, it's something deep. What's so deep? One candle lasted for 8 days. What's so deep? You have to have Bina to figure this out as a miracle? So the Baal HaMus explained as follows. And they based it on a famous story in the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was impoverished. And one Friday before Shabbos, his daughter came crying and said, "Abba, we don't even have any oil to light the Shabbos candle." His response was quite amazing. "My daughter, it's okay, don't worry about it. Mi she'omar l'shemen v'yidlok." That divine power that ordained that oil will light a fire to illuminate, "Hu yom al chometz v'yidlok," can also tell vinegar, a much cheaper and more accessible liquid, but can also light. Sure enough, worked. It was a miracle. It really was. Tremendous miracle. But you know, to paraphrase Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, the opposite is also true. The opposite is also true. The same power that in this particular case enabled miraculously for the vinegar to light is the same power that each and every day enables oil to light. Anyone could have figured out the miracle of Hanukkah for 7 days. 7 days? 7 days extra. What was special about the B'nai Bina? The B'nai Bina was Yemei Shmona, the famous question that's attributed to the Beis Yosef came before him. Why are there 8 days in Chanukah? There's only be seven. Only 7 days are miraculous. The first day was the simple nature. And the B'nai Bina are teaching us, no, look more deeply. Nature itself is a miracle. It's a miracle which we ignore because it's so common and so frequent, but a miracle nonetheless. And therefore, we add the eighth day. 7 days for the supernatural and 1 day for the natural. We have to thank Hashem for every breath, not only when someone falls ill and recovers. Every day is Thanksgiving. Not only because a few centuries ago they had a bountiful harvest. Each and every day requires that we admit our debt, admit our shortcomings and mistakes, acknowledge our debt, and yes, express our debt. Moda manachaloch. We say it every single day, 3 times. And yet, Chazal themselves were aware of the fact that it's often lip service and perfunctory. Chazal is an expression. I thank my head that goes down in modim, even though I'm not even thinking about it. Chazal said so. So who are we? All too often, you go like this. It's built, it's programmed. Do we really think about it deeply enough? These are the lessons of Thanksgiving, the lessons of Hanukkah. May each and every one of us learn these lessons and learn them well. And in this chus, that Kadosh Baruch Hu quickly bring the day of Ozeg Mor, Vishir Mizmor, Chanukah Samizbeach, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, from here of Yameinu Amen.